This is one of the places in Scripture where God says, test me. You don't think it works? Test me. No, I'm sure about it. I don't know. I'm not. God says, test me. Test me.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Chubb. Good to be with you once again. You know, just today I got an email from a listener that was troubled by some thoughts that were weighing them down, putting a dark cloud over their thinking, over their marriage, over their attitude. And I was thinking today that how the mind is a battleground and how so often these thoughts can flood in and invade your soul, discourage you, doubtful thoughts, fearful thoughts, anxious thoughts, thoughts that just take away your joy, cloud your judgment, cause you to walk around with this grumpy, nasty attitude. And I believe that the Word of God has the power to transform our thinking. In fact, it tells us in Romans chapter 12 that we are to be transformed. The word is metamorphosized by the renewing of our mind. And how is the mind renewed? It's renewed through the truth. And where do we get the truth from? We get it through the Word of God. So as you're listening to this radio broadcast, you are in the process of renewing your thinking, renewing your mind. So I want to encourage you to be a person of the Word, a person that digs in, meditates, reads your Bible, lets it stew in your mind, get up in the morning every day, try to get into the Word, meditate on some scripture so that it's fresh in your mind and allowing your thoughts to be molded and transformed by the Word.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in again to another edition of Straight Talk. Today, we are concluding our series that Pastor Mark is in called God Provides, and it's the second half of his message called The Law of Center. Our text will be found in the book of Malachi chapter 3. We'll be in verses 6 through 12. Here's Pastor Mark with The Law of Center.
There are certain things that God says, this is mine, and all of what you have is mine, but I make you a manager of some, and I require other from you, right? Listen, if God is not the center of your heart, you've robbed God because He deserves to be at the center. If a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a job, economics, or anything else is in the place in your life where God should be, then you have robbed God from His rightful position because He deserves to be at the center. Listen, God wants your worship. When you do not worship Him and give Him the glory that He deserves, the honor that is His, if you don't worship Him first in life, then what you have done is you've robbed God of His worship because He deserves that. He demands that. That's His. If you are worshiping something else before you worship God, then you have robbed God of what's rightfully His, and that is His worship. God demands from us what's called in the Scripture the first fruits. He asks us to give Him of the first, and then we manage the rest. These people, what they were doing is they were giving to God, but if you notice here, they were, he says, in tithes and offering. The word tithes means 10%, and offerings means just a generous act of giving. He said, you are under the curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me. What God is saying is that I've demanded and asked you to give the first fruits first to God. I've said, give the first of what you have to the house of God, to the things of God, and then you can manage the rest. But what was happening with them is that they were giving God the leftover, the chump change. They were bringing some of it, but not all of it. And they thought that they were doing God a favor. And God is saying, hold on a second. Listen, I consider it robbery when you don't give me the first of all that you have and what I desire of you, the first fruits. Listen, the problem is people were sinning against God with their finances. The first fruit principle, in essence, says this: bring the first to God and then let God take care of the rest, because the first blesses the rest. This is a principle that I started learning when when I was in college and then got married. And what I discovered over the years is that it's the formula that I talked to you about. I run into a lot of people that don't really give God the first for a lot of reasons. When you're a poor college student, you say, well, once I have a job and have money, then I will. When you're a young married couple with kids and you say, well, I have kids, we still don't have enough, we're living on a real tight budget, but when I make more money and get the raise, I will. When you're older and your kids are in college, you say, you know, right now I make more money than I did before, but I got big bills in college, and maybe one day when we're empty nesters, I will. When you get close to retirement, you say, well, I got to save for retirement, and if I had enough in retirement, then I really would. And here's what I've discovered. Listen, there's never a convenient time to start tithing and giving God the first fruits, because there's always something that'll say, now is not the right time. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But here's what I decided. I decided years ago, when I was still a college student, that whatever came in, I would tithe to God. So when we got married, I was making $8,000 a year. That was my entire salary. I had no insurance, no benefit, no parsonage, no car. But I determined I'm going to tithe out of the money that I have. And God, it is super tight. But Lord, I will give to you. Why? Because I want whatever the rest that I have, I want it to be blessed by you. And I remember testing God and saying, God, you know what? Whew. I barely have enough to pay for the bills. But you know what? I'm going to jump out and test. And God, you have to provide. And God, you have to open the doors. And over the years, miracle by miracle, hand by hand, door by door, God would open the doors at the right time. I've been tithing for probably well over 26, 27 years. And here's what I've learned. Now I say to you, I can't afford not to tithe. Can't afford not to tithe. Some people say, well, I don't know if I can afford to tithe. I'm going to tell you my personal experience. I can't afford not to tithe. And so the second thing I want you to understand about this is the lack of obedience and giving plugs up the channel of God's release. Verse 9, he says to you, the consequences that they were under, he says, you are under a curse. Hold on a second. The whole nation of you, because you are robbing me, he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. The question arises with this. Hold on. How can God curse the people that he has blessed? Has that ever come? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Can God really curse? Notice, it doesn't say that God has cursed them. It says that they are under a curse. What is a curse? A curse is the opposite of a blessing. A blessing is the favor of God is released. A curse is the favor is not there and bad things happen. The opposite of a blessing is a curse. You can either bless or you can curse. Listen, some of you, whether you understand or not, parents, I believe that you flow constantly in the way you parent. You flow in either blessing or in neutrality or in curses. Now, you don't go cursing your children, but oftentimes by the way you live, by the way you parent, you actually curse them so that your parenting is a negative effect on their life and brings bad seeds into their life, not because you want to, but because you're parenting the wrong way, and so you become a curse to your children. Hello? You're a funnel, parents. Blessings and curses flow through you. And God does not say that he is cursing them. He says that they are under a curse. Listen, God never curses what he's blessed. God is a God of blessing. If he's blessed you, he's not cursing you. It wasn't a curse that God put on them. It was a curse that they were bringing upon themselves. Why? Let me explain it to you this way. Listen, God doesn't curse his people. God is a blessing, and he has come to break curses. We curse ourselves when we step into a place where God can't bless us. I don't think you heard me. God never curses us, but oftentimes we curse ourselves when we step into a place where God cannot bless us. If you are here today and you choose to have resentment and bitterness and anger towards a person, God has blessed you, but you have stepped into a place of curses. The peace of God will not come to you. The joy of God will not be released into your life. The freedom of God is not upon you. You have stepped into a land of curses because you have chosen to be resentful, angry and bitter. You have cursed yourself, not God, but a curse is on you. Why? Because when we're bitter and unforgiving, it begins to affect our life. It clogs. At the end of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, but if you do not forgive, then how can your Heavenly Father release forgiveness into your life? You clog the funnel of blessing. Not because God doesn't want to bless you, not because God is cursing you, but you step yourself into the land of curses. Hey, can I get personal here? You don't even have to give me permission. I'll do it anyway. So, listen, some of you want to have a blessed marriage. And some of you are dating and saying, well, we want God to be a blessing. And we really want God's favor upon us. We really want God's blessing upon us. We really want God to move in us. We want him to prosper us financially. And we want us to have a household full of peace and so forth. You desire that. But you know what? Before you get married right now, you're living together. And you're living together in sin. You're sexually involved with each other. And you have stepped into the land of curses, yet you're saying, God, bless me. And God says, I want to bless you. Oh man, I want your marriage to be good. Oh man, I want to prepare you, but you have stepped in the land of curses. How can I bless? How can I be blessing when you stepped into the land of curses? You're living in disobedience and asking me to bless you. I want to, but I can't. You see, if you're going to live in the land of blessing, you have to live in the land of obedience. You have to do things God's way. You can't ask God to bless you when you choose to camp out in the land of curses. Right? Oh God, I want to feel your love. Oh God, I want to feel forgiven and free. I'm so bound and dark inside. But you know, unless you choose to love, the Bible says, how can the love of God be manifest in your life when you hate your brother?
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Law of Center, which is from our series called God Provides. After our program, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message and how you can visit one of our new lives near you. But right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. Pastor Mark's message, The Law of Center.
How can you say you love God and hate your brother? You've stepped into the land of hatred and you can't experience the love of God, not because he doesn't want to love you, but because you're camping out in the land of curses with hatred in your heart and you're saying, oh God, how come I don't feel your love? Oh God, how come you're so distant? Oh God, why are the heavens brass? Oh God, don't you love me? God, please bless me, change me, do something in my life. But you're in the land of curses and God says, step into the land of blessing, I'll release it to you. But how can you camp in the land of curses and expect the heavens to be blessing to you? It's applicable in all areas of our life, including our finances. And what had happened with these people is that they were praying that the famine would end. They were praying that God would open up the doors, but yet they were living in the land of curses because they were disobeying God with their tithes and offerings. They weren't bringing what belonged to God to his house. They were not giving of the first fruits to God. And so they had moved themselves to the land of curses. And God says, I want to bless, but I can't because you're cursing yourself. Number three. Our giving brings release in the spiritual realm that God encourages us to test. So he says to these people, test me. There are very few places in the Bible where we're encouraged to test God. In fact, some of you say, well, I thought the Bible said, thou shalt not test the Lord your God. Right? Jesus said that when he was being tempted, right? Don't test. Now, There's a right kind of test and a wrong kind of test, and you never test unless God says, test me. This is one of the places in Scripture where God says, test me. You don't think it works? Test me. So, well, I'm sure about it. I don't know. I'm not. God says, test me. And what he's saying, in essence, what he's saying is this. Listen, test me, says the Lord Almighty, and see if when you step into the land of blessing, see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. And so he sends two kinds of blessings. Listen, it requires full obedience and not partial obedience. How many of you know that partial obedience is disobedience? Oh, no, let me say that again. Because I think a lot of people struggle here. When I tell my kids, go clean your room. Okay, Dad. Oh, I pray for whoever marries my daughter. She's got a lot of good qualities. Room upkeep is not one of them. When my wife says, go clean your room, she's usually the manager of the household there. And her definition of a clean room and my daughter's definition of a clean room sometimes are very different. And listen, when someone says, when I hear, well, I've cleaned my room, and you walk in the room and the definition is I've taken everything that was on the floor and piled it on the bed, then that is really not a clean room. And here's the thing, listen, partial obedience is disobedience. In other words, if the job is not finished, you can't say I've obeyed. And listen, you can't go out until the room is clean and, oh, I cleaned my room. No, you still can't go out because partial obedience is disobedience. And what God is saying to them is that, yeah, they were giving. They were giving some, but they were not really following through with tithes and offerings. They were not giving what they knew they should give. They were partially obeying. And so even though they were partially obeying, they were still disobeying. And God is challenging them on that. And he says, test me in your full obedience and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much favor and blessing that you will not have enough room for it. So He promises him the blessing of provision, and he promises him the blessing of protection, the release of abundance and the release of protection. He says, hey, I will open up the floodgates. I will open up heaven. There is no shortage in heaven. Well, let me say that again. There's no shortage in heaven. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know. We don't, you know, I don't know where the love's going to come from. Listen, God has no shortage of love. Whatever you're in need of, God has no shortage of it. And God says, I will throw open the floodgates of heaven. I will open up heaven's gates. I will pour so much upon you that you will know that my hand is there. And then the release of protection. And I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast out their fruit, says the Lord. It's one thing to receive. It's another thing for it to be eaten away, isn't it? And God says, I will throw open abundance and protection that will come in your direction as you do this. And I'm running out of time, so I got to close up with this. Listen, here's my challenge. We've talked about the three laws. I am convinced that if you practice the law of source and you determine, God, all that I have is yours, I'm going to give you honor for it. I'm going to manage it according to how you want me to manage it. I'm going to say, he's the one that's prospered me. He's the one that's opened the door. I give honor and glory to God. I don't take it for myself. He's the owner. I bless him. I honor him. When I receive my paycheck, I say, thank you, not to my boss. I can bless my boss, but I thank God. I say, thank you, God, for providing, because you are the source. The law of seed says this, God, I'm going to sow into my future in every area of my life because I know that whatever I sow, that also will I reap. And so I start sowing now if I want a different future. I'm going to start doing it now. And the law of center says I'm going to step out of the land of curses, cross the border into the land of full obedience and say, here I am, God. I'm obeying you. in all areas of my life, including my finances, God, because I'm stepping into the land of blessing so that all that you have for me can come in my direction. And God says, test me and see. So here's my challenge for you in 2010. I want to challenge you to begin to practice the first fruits in three areas of your life. Number one, I want to challenge you. Give the first minute of your day to God. Give them to God. Wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, that you are good. Instead of, it's a lousy Monday. And I got to go to work. I'm so tired. I wish I could sleep some more. Hey, how about when you wake up in the morning, say, good morning, God. I give you my day and I bless you. And then I want you to roll out of bed, get a cup of coffee. Because some of you without coffee, you just don't function. You can't think straight. And I want you to be able to listen and hear well. And I want to challenge you to spend, listen, I know some of you, the morning's hard, but can I challenge you to spend 5 minutes, start with five minutes with God in the morning? Just five. Read a chapter in the Bible. That's my challenge. First fruits. Roll out of bed, read a chapter in the Bible, pray on your way to work, talk to God, but give God the first fruits. Offer him the day. You are saying, I'm giving the first portion of my day to you, God. It's the first part of my day. Number two, I want to challenge you not only to give the first of your day to God, but I want to challenge you to begin to give the first priority of your heart to God. I want to challenge you in 2010 to say, God, I want you to be first in my life. Not a husband, not a boyfriend, not a job, not myself, not my body, not my economy. Nothing else will take the first place. I want to put you first place in all that I do because you deserve the center of my life. I want to give you the first fruits, God. And one of the great ways of doing that, one of the great ways of speaking that into God is by the first day of the week is where you come and worship God. You're saying, God, Sundays is yours. I'm going to worship you. Whether it's sunny, whether it's rainy, whether it snows, whether the Bears play or don't play, God, I'm going to worship you, God. I'm going to worship you and give you the first day of the week because you deserve that. And I want to, part of me showing you that at first, if I have kids and they're in sports, listen, there's all kinds of great leagues out there. Don't compromise your son. Don't speak into your kid's life by taking them to sports instead of to church. You know, sports are great. You say sports are great. I agree, sports are great. But they're greater if they're not on Sunday morning. Because when your kids grow up, what good is it to have a kid that's good at baseball but doesn't love God and is all messed up spiritually? Listen, seriously. Seriously. Thirdly, I'm going to challenge you to give the first fruits of your finances to God. That you just say, God, I give you the first. I don't give you the leftover. I don't give you the chump change. I don't give you whatever's left over. But I'm giving you the first fruit because it's a challenge, but because you deserve it. Not because I have to, but because I want to. And test God and see whether or not you experience a change in your financial world when you start putting God number one and start giving God the first of your tithes and offerings, the first of your paycheck. You say, well, I don't get paid until once a month, and give once a month. God's not demanding that you give beyond what comes in. God is saying whatever comes into your household, then carve out first and say, God, I'm giving you first because you are the source. You bless the rest. And I'm going to test you and see, God. Listen, I believe that we're called to be a generous people, but we can't be a generous people unless we have some abundance to be able to give. If we're living in the land of curses and there's need and constantly want and need in our lives, then what do we have to give? I believe that God wants you in a place where you can give. And I don't believe you're going to get in that place until you start honoring him.
You have just heard Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago with the second half of his message called The Law of Center, which is from our current series called God Provides. This does conclude our radio series. We hope that you've enjoyed it. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.